on DAB Digital Radio, Digital TV, downloads and online.
Five Live.
We are up on the roof and we came up here because Mark Cameron had fallen asleep in the commentary box. We were right on the centre court. I know it wasn't the most fantastic match ever, but you fell asleep in one of the great sporting arenas known to man.
It was a zen zone that I was in. I was communing with the players on an astral plane. I don't need to watch, Simon. I mean, I was just there with the game.
Excellent.
I was the ball. The racket.
You were in the zone.
I was the bat.
So reviews.
Well, there weren't enough goals anyway.
We'll spend some time on Die Hard, which is the big poster movie of the week, and then we'll do some other reviews as we sort of get scattered throughout the rest of the afternoon. Box office top 10 this week involves this at 10, Tell No One.
Which I like very much, a French adaptation of an American thriller, and, good if overly twisty.
Captivity at 9.
I think the torture porn, which doesn't exist genre, is finally going out the window, and it's good to see that's gone down to number 9. It's horrible.
Vacancy at 8.
Which of all those nuts and bolts slasher rehashes we lived through all this in the 1970s is the better one.
Right. Is this a misprint at 7? Apne?
Apne?
That's what it says. A-P-N-E.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't seen a film called Apne.
Have you not?
No.
You've missed it. Apparently.
I'm sorry.
The most talked about movies.
Is it?
It's a typo, but it's Apne. It's at 7. La Vie en Rose at 6.
Which is fine, except for the fact that she, obviously she's lip-syncing and it misses out the whole of World War II in a way that only a French movie could.
Hostel Part 2 at 5.
Eli Roth needs to be slapped and sent to bed with no supper until he agrees to stop doing this sort of thing.
Pirates of the Caribbean at the World's End at number 4.
3 hours of your life which could be more productively spent, doing almost anything else. Gardening.
There do seem to be an awful lot of these movies in the top 10 where the people should be thoroughly ashamed of themselves.
Yeah,
Ocean's 13 at 3.
Well, Julian Sands turns up and that's a great big black hole.
4, Rise of the Silver Surfer at 2.
Not as good as it ought to be, but not quite as bad as the original Silver Surfer film. I do wish they'd stop doing the Invisible Woman, takes all her clothes off and then becomes visible again gag.
And the UK's number 1 is Shrek the Third.
Which, it is a general downward spiral. However, it'll satisfy the kids in as much as they'll be in one ear, out the other. They'll enjoy it. They won't remember it in the same way they will Shrek 1 and 2. I think we've had enough of the Shrek movies now. Unfortunately, Shrek 4 is due in 2010.
Apne is right. It's an Indian boxing film. Make sure you see it by next Friday.
I will do. We haven't been press shown it.
Okay, so amongst...
But the thing is, it's just that usually when you read titles out, the possibility of it being a typo as
very,
opposed
very
to
high.
Is very, very high.
Okay, big release this week, Die Hard 4.0.
So, when people revise franchises, it generally is a sort of an indication that their acting career is sort of on the way. You think of Schwarzenegger doing Terminator 3 because things weren't going so well, or what's his name, Sylvester Stallone, who's now done, we're not allowed to call it Rocky 5, Rocky 6, it's actually Rocky Balboa, and he's about to make Rambo 4, but we're not allowed to call it that, it's John Rambo. However, Bruce Willis going back to the Die Hard franchise, I like Die Hard. You saw the other Die Hard movie, the first Die Hard movie just recently on television.
It's very good.
Really holds up well, but here's the beauty of it. It is cowboys and Indians in the Towering Inferno. There's a single location, he's being the cowboy, the Alan Rickman, Where Are My Detonators characters being in it. That's how it works out. It's perfectly sort of stripped down. The next one, let's do it on an aeroplane. The next one, okay, let's confine it to New York City. Fourth one is let's do pretty much the whole of the Eastern Seaboard. This time, however, it's Die Hard 4.0, and that title tells you that it's computer literate. Hey, guys, you know what? The 21st century computers are really it. I'm sort of thinking Hackers came out in 1995.
Very good
that
film.
Means at least 12 years too late on the aren't computers hip and down with the kids thing. But the plot is, this time, the whole of the Eastern Seaboard was being brought down by cyber terrorists who have hacked into the mainframe on, I have to say, the fastest connected internet provider I have ever seen in my life. I go onto mine and it's like,
You haven't got connected in the New Forest, have you?
No, we haven't got broadband, but even on, I hear that broadband is very fast, but it's nothing like as fast as this guy doing it. And so, usual sort of standoff, mad cyber terrorist.
An email from Mike Garvey, who says, Just seen Die Hard 4.0. After careful consideration, I'd have to say it is without doubt the stupidest, most moronic film in the history of cinema. In fact, I'll include all future films in that statement. I can't conceive anyone could ever top this film for sheer silliness. Some films have come close, the Apple Mac compatible Alien Spaceship and Independence Day, but nothing can top Die Hard 4, which just piles on one insanely impossible scene on top of another until it achieves a sort of dumbness nirvana.
The main problem with it is that the dumbness isn't original. So nearly all the stunts you've seen before, so there's the bit that's in the trailer of Capitol Building getting blown up, which kind of looks like the White House getting blown up in Independence Day. There's the bit when they shut down a whole city by messing with the traffic lights, which is kind of from the Italian Job. There's also a key scene in which there's a helicopter, right, and Bruce Willis drives a car and the car goes up a ramp and the car hits the helicopter. Everyone's saying this is the great big you know, money shot, fantastic, wonderful stunt. Well, there's a movie in the 1990s called Stone Cold with Brian Bosworth, who was an American footballer, lunk-headed American footballer with sort of, you know, short hair and a sort of horrible cat flap thing at the back, and he drove a motorbike out of a window at a helicopter in a Craig Baxley movie back in the 1990s, so that's not original. All the lines is stuff you've heard before. We get Bruce says things like, this time he's saving his daughter rather than his wife, because they kind of figure probably, you know, Bonnie Bedelia, it's not eye candy enough, let's get somebody young, that way it'll kind of work out. And he does the thing about, I have repeatedly asked you to call me dad, which is a line from Armageddon, you will remember. Then we get all the usual stuff that when things go bang very loudly, he does, oh, that's going to wake up the neighbor. And it's like watching sort of hits on 45 of action genre movie cliches. The other thing with it is, I mean, it's not without a certain passing interest, because I quite like Bruce Willis, and he does look good running around in various states of disarray. However, the promotional item for Die Hard 4.0, which in America, incidentally, is called Live Free or Die Hard, but they kind of figure that over here in Europe, we would think that sounded far too sort of post-Iraq flag-waving. He never, in the film, actually gets to just wear the vest. There is a promotional vest, which I've got, which says Die Hard 4.0, but he keeps his singlet on, because you know what? He's a bit old, so it's, you know, Die Hard, but wrap up nice and warm, because, you know, get your cardi on, Bruce.
Next time, he can try and rescue his granddaughter.
Exactly, and that'll be fine, because he always looks the same age, but you have to, you know, the people he's rescuing have to stay in the sort of, in the bracket for the audience to be interested.
Wimbledon at bbc.co.uk if you want to join in this. The movie conversation will get scattered liberally in the available hours that we have here on the, apparently the next 30 minutes. All right, so everything's going to be condensed between now and 4 o'clock. Die Hard, halfway through that. This says Simon and Mark saw Die Hard last night, thought it was good, silly, stupid fun, but it's just a cartoon, really. Every time Willis bounces off a wall, floor, or ventilation shaft, I defy anyone not to think of that scene in The Simpsons when Homer fails to jump the canyon and keeps falling down the cliff. Willis even sounds and looks a lot like Homer, but you're not Simpsons literate, so.
No, I'm not. But it is true that one of the problems with it is, the idea is that John McClane is not a hero, he's an everyman, yeah? And actually, in the press notes, Willis says this, and what I really like about him, he's a kind of relatable kind of guy. We all look at John McClane and we think, yeah, we're like that. He goes, well, no, actually. If you are surfing on the tail fin of a Harrier jump jet, having driven an articulated lorry off an exploding flyover whilst having missiles fired at you by a helicopter, that doesn't make you an ordinary kind of guy. That makes you Bruce Willis in a movie. I mean, the whole point about the original Die Hard is that he was supposed to be a schlubby kind of guy who just happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And yes, he's slightly more heroic than one could perhaps imagine in reality. But it's not completely ludicrous. But what they've had to do is, with each new movie, they've had to up the ante. And the action set pieces in this, once you get to the point of, okay, you can leap out of a fiery truck onto the back of a Harrier jump jet, trip down onto the ground, dust yourself off, and then go and beat up the bad guys. You think, well, there is no pain, and I believe this, no pain, no gain. If you don't believe that your hero is getting hurt, then actually you have dramatic disengagement, and that's what I had. I had dramatic disengagement.
Hello to Jason Isaacs, by the way.
And hello to David Morrissey.
He's probably watching the vodcast right at the moment. Go to the website for details. Is it 4.0 or 4.0?
Well, it's Die Hard 4. Whatever
this
you want.
This matters, because Jamie in Reading says, would the good doctor agree that the naught in Die Hard 4.0 refers to the fact that they went ahead and used the very first draft of the screenplay without any revisions?
But they didn't. I mean, that's the weird thing. It's about the 23rd. This started life as a different film, which was much more connected to the government's failures in the wake of New Orleans, and then it was turned into a Die Hard movie. So actually, it should be Die Hard 4.78. Can I say one last thing, which
you
is the Justin Long character is a computer hacker. At one point, does this whole speech about, oh yeah, man, you can't watch the news, man, because the news is totally manipulated. The stuff you see on the news is totally manipulated. And you're sitting there thinking, this is a Fox movie financed by Fox, in which somebody is actually saying that. But then, of course, he has to eat all his words and realize that it's not true at all. And actually, hacking into corporate accounts is really bad, and we're all on the same side. And you just think there is something slightly pernicious about the idea of Fox having a movie telling you about manipulated news. But then they go, actually, no, that's not true. Really, the way to solve everything is to just hit a bunch of people and blow some stuff up.
Tennis and movies on 5 Live. You've got about 70 seconds, Mark. What's next?
Okay, so Edmund, right? Based on the 1982 stage play by David Mamet. I saw this on stage a couple of years ago with Kenneth Branagh in the lead role. Kenneth Branagh. And the story is a guy, sort of a salary guy, goes home to his wife, says, we're incompatible, I don't fancy you and you hate my guts, decides to go out on the town in search of illicit thrills. Everything goes really, really badly wrong. He ends up railing against everybody. It's racist, it's homophobic, it's aggressive, it's violent. It's apparently all deeply satirical and probably meant to mean something, but it's one of those things. People like David Mamet far too much. He's far too smug. The funny thing about this film is it's directed by Stuart Gordon, who directed the Reanimator movies. You know, the Reanimator, which is, I'm sure you've seen it, actually recently re-released, I think, in the totally uncut version.
Just watching all the back catalogue now.
It's a real good, scrungy, cheesy horror movie, and I think that Stuart Gordon does a better job than David Mamet gives him the chance to do with that screenplay. You've got William H. Macy in the lead role, and William H. Macy is a good actor, and Stuart Gordon is a good genre director, but David Mamet's screenplay is one of those, I'm really clever, I'm really smart, I'm really, really sort of full of myself, therefore I can spout a whole bunch of racist, homophobic stuff, and you will understand that actually what I'm doing is art. You know what, David? Shut up.
Get your Five Live podcasts from the Five Live website.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Including 606.
You made some good points, mate. I'm watching the game, holding my head in my hands.
Sports Week. Wake Up to Money. The Daily Mail. Mark Carmode's film reviews. And Fighting Talk. Click on the podcast link on the Five Live homepage. You'll find full instructions on how to download.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Welcome back to The Roof, where we've done a bit of movie conversation this afternoon. It's all available on the vodcast and the podcast. We've done Edmund. Die Hard 4.0 is the big movie of the week. Steve McCann on this email says, Mark, I was disappointed to see you're no more accurate than the Daily Mail film reviewer.
What have I done?
In calling the aircraft in Die Hard a Harrier.
Jump jet.
It is, in fact, a Lockheed Martin F-35 Lightning II. The aircraft will not be in service until about 2018, and I, for one, could have waited just as long for the film. Just make sure the stats and the figures are correct.
Here's my thing. Any plane that takes off like that from the is a Harrier jump jet. You can call it what you want.
So when you say like that, you mean vertical takeoff?
I mean like that, yeah. That hand for the radio, hand going up. I realise that gesture didn't work on the radio, but I'm sorry. It's a Harrier jump jet by another name.
What else is new?
Two other films out. Flandre, to give it its proper title, by Bruno Dumont, which is an incredibly grim movie about the awfulness of war, the awfulness of existence, the awfulness of being a bloke, and basically, isn't life terrible? It was described in London's Time Out magazine as the most godless movie you will ever see, which I think is possibly overstating it. It starts in northern France. There's he's not really our hero, working on a farm, plodding.
What is he then?
Everything. Well, he's an anti-hero.
Okay. Well, okay. Say that then.
Well, okay. So our anti-hero, working on a farm, plodding his way through his miserable existence, gets called up to go to a war. He doesn't know where it is. We don't know where it is. He goes to the war, plods his way through this miserable war. Terrible things happen, you know, atrocities, horror. Plods his way through that, comes back home and plods his way through his miserable existence and bursts into tears. The interesting thing about it is that when I've just listening to myself describe it like that, it sounds like the worst movie in the world. Actually, it's rather good. I mean, it has something quite intelligent to say about the way in which, you know, war normalises horrors. It's very sort of universal. We specifically don't know where the conflict is, and that works quite well. It possibly is too grim for many people. I don't think that Time Out are correct in saying that it's entirely godless, but it is certainly a film which has an extraordinarily bleak view of human nature. However, in a week in which, you know, you look at Die Hard, which isn't it fun blowing things up and shooting at things and, you know, falling off the back of a Harrier jump jet by any other name.
It's a Lockheed Martin F-35 Lightning.
Because you knew that anyway, right? I rather liked Flanders in as much as I kind of rather endured it. The other thing out this week is Dead Silence, which is the film made by the writer and director who made Saw and who therefore accidentally kicked off the so-called torture porn, which doesn't exist.
While
everyone else is still ploughing, still flogging that particular dead horse, they've gone back and made this really old-fashioned Devil Doll movie. It's a Hammer style movie. It has nods towards Mario Bava, and it's at the beginning of the film, somebody's partner is killed by a ventriloquist doll. So it's that film, you know, it's dead of night, it's magic, it's dolls, it's all those Devil Doll movies that you've seen before, all put together in this kind of quite, you know, affectionate homage. It's all misty castles and it's all cronky camera angles.
It's an affectionate Devil Doll movie.
It is an affectionate Devil Doll movie, and actually it was really funny. I was watching it, I was thinking, I'm quite interested in this, I'm quite glad these guys are doing this. I'm quite glad they like these films. The problem with it is that although it's much more interesting than making yet more so-called torture porn, which as we know doesn't exist, you do sit there thinking, this feels so familiar that it's not in the slightest bit scary. I mean, actually, generally, dolls are quite freaky. You know, dolls' mouths move in strange ways and their eyes. That's why horror movies use them all the time. But I sat there the whole of Dead Silence thinking, I quite like this. I quite admire its intentions, but it's just not frightening. And I'm sorry, it's like the comedy thing. If it's a comedy movie, it has to be funny. If it's an action movie, it has to be exciting. And if it's a horror film, in the end, it has to be scary. And the problem with Dead Silence, not scary.
So we've got a choice then between a dumb action film
with a Harrier jump jet in it,
a really grim film about warfare and depression. And
a David Mamet adaptation of one of his weaker plays in which he's misanthropic for no good reason other than he's David Mamet and he can do it.
Not much of a choice, is it?
And Dead
Shrek
Silence.
The Third sounding rather tempting. Chris in Deptford. Could the Doctor explain why Last House on the Left is such a good film, as it is probably The only film I've been to see that I wished I hadn't. Not because it's bad, but it was horrible. I can't see how it's anything other than badly made. The tone changes randomly from scene to scene. It's just a revenge movie. It seems to have all the faults that the Hair Doctor has found in recent crop of TP films. It features gratuitous, horrific scenes treated as a joke throughout the film, etc., etc. Loads of that.
The short answer to that is, it was made at a time when making a film about violence was in response to some extent to the televised violence that was happening in America in the early 70s. That said, it is clearly an exploitation movie, and that's how it was originally sold. And I absolutely agree the comedic sequences are totally out of place, and Wes Craven himself says if there's one thing that he would undo about that film, it's that he would take the comedy. But he said when he made it, he just thought that you needed moments of comic relief between the horrible violence. I mean, I think it is a really nasty, unpleasant, sleazy piece of work, but it's a really nasty, unpleasant, sleazy piece of work that actually means something. And the problem with everything that came after it, pretty much, with the exception of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, is that it doesn't mean anything.
We have 45 seconds. Place the Die Hard movies in order of watchability.
Die Hard 1 is absolutely brilliant. I mean, I do think it's a great ripping action movie. John McTiernan is really good. Die Hard 3 is not so bad. A little bit of a step down. Jeremy Irons steps manfully into the breach. Die Hard 2 is kind of okay, and there was something about the fact that he said, how can the same stuff happen to the same guy twice? And it was kind of, and then at the bottom of it all, Die Hard 4.0, or to give it an American title, Live Free or Die Hard. It should be Die Hard. Die Hard 2 was Die Harder. Die Hard 3 was Die Hard with a Vengeance, and this one should be Die Hardest.
Or 4 point less.
But in fact, 4 point less!
Not original.
I can't believe I didn't do that. So I didn't do 4 point less, I didn't do IKEA Nightly. I'm really slipping. Who came up with 4 point less?
I was going to say some listener, but that sounded very...
It did sound really dismissive.
Very dismissive.
Yeah.
It came up on an email. Anyway,
so
movie of the week.
Well, probably Flanders.
No.
Yes, I'm sorry. There we go.
An old French movie about the war.
And the miserableness of human existence and the terrible awfulness of being a man.
Go see Shrek the Third.
And the worstness of being a woman who has to live with the men.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live. We'll be right back.